WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today, we celebrate the 90th birthday of tenor saxophonist Sonny Rollins. He's long been hailed as our greatest living jazz improviser and continues to inspire generations of musicians. Rollins recorded his first sessions as a sideman at age 18 in 1949 and played his last live shows in 2012. In a few minutes, we'll listen back to an interview with Rollins from our archive, which I recorded in 1994. But first, our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead delivers a birthday toast featuring music from 5 decades of Sonny Rollins' long career.
Sonny Rollins in 1989 playing Tennessee Waltz, one of those oddball selections Rollins is known for. He plays unlikely or uncool tunes, not to be arch, but because he likes them. Like so many good things in Rollins' music, you can trace such choices back to the later 1950s when he knocked out a slew of classic albums, including Work Time, Saxophone Colossus, A Night at the Village Vanguard, Freedom Suite, and Way Out West. I'm an Old Cowhand, 1957. Sonny Rollins' first idol was saxophonist Coleman Hawkins, with his big, imposing tenor sound and sophisticated soloing. And Rollins was a protege of Thelonious Monk, who sounded like no one else, made generous use of space, and minded the melody while improvising. Rollins embraced all those qualities just mentioned. His rhythm could be slippery, and his solos were praised for their exceptional coherence. He's a thinking person's improviser. This is I've Told Every Little Star. For Rollins, early or late, his striking solos aren't just about the notes and rhythms he chooses, but also his sometimes eccentric sound. As a kid in Harlem, he was into drawing and painting, and his music has a strong sense of design. His garish tone is crucial to the overall effect, part of a complete artistic statement. Thank you. In the late 50s, Rollins established the tenor, bass, and drums trio in jazz. That open environment gave him lots of elbow room. Thereafter, dozens of tenor trio records would nod to Sonny some kind of way. He fronted more hard-charging trios in the 1960s when he branched out in other directions, flirting with the avant-garde and squaring off on record against old hero Coleman Hawkins. Sonny threw Hawkins some curves, but didn't throw him off. In 1959, Sonny Rollins had famously dropped out for a couple of years, practicing on New York's Williamsburg Bridge. In the late 60s, he dropped out again to reevaluate, spending time in India. When he reemerged in the early 70s, there were striking changes. His tone was now more braying and metallic, and he gave more room to other soloists so he didn't have to blow all the time. His new bands were more groove-oriented, using electric bass and guitar, a format he stuck with pretty much ever after. There was less space and more riffing in his solos, but no loss of momentum. Here's Rollins in 1996, ricocheting off Harold Sumney's drums. There is an ecstatic side to Sonny Rollins' playing in his long late period, a sense of controlled abandon akin to raspy gospel saxophonists. Sonny Rollins' people came from the West Indies, and he loves calypsos, such as his 1956 classic, St. Thomas. In his later phase, he wrote a bunch of calypsos, putting island bounce in a band's rhythm. This is Global Warming, recorded in 2001. Sonny Rollins stopped playing in 2014 for health reasons. As recent interviews show, his mind remained sharp. Rollins has always been self-critical and not much interested in reliving old glories. He believes in reincarnation and aspires to do better in his next life. That would be something to hear. For all Sonny Rollins has accomplished and all the pleasure he's given us listeners, there isn't a 90th birthday cake big enough.
Kevin Whitehead is the author of the new book, Play the Way You Feel, The Essential Guide to Jazz Stories on Film.